Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I can't say enough about Steph, because each game is different. The receivers love to catch the ball. In fact, they want to throw it 50 times a game, 60 times a game. And sometimes that's what we have to do, and other times it's not. And just the leadership that he shows on the sideline, you know, he was great at halftime. He was great with the defense. He was great with the offense. He's one of our best leaders we have on our football team. And, you know, I thought he provided a lot for us. And we're going to need that in this stretch here.
Brian Daboll talking about Stephon Diggs, who is coming off a season-low 39 yards receiving against the Chargers. We'll see how he fares against a good pass defense Monday night. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Jeremy's off. He's back Monday. Nate Geary is here, star of pregame, halftime, and postgame. And you're, let's see, so your postgame show Monday, that'll be at what, like 3 in the morning? We'll probably see you when we get in.
It goes till 2 a.m., yeah.
Why don't you just hang out till 6?
You mean Sports Thunder?
Sports Thunder.
Listen, don't you dare. I thought we were friends, first and foremost.
New
because
mail. Hang on. Let me click on new mail.
Do
Alan
not.
Davis.
I was just going to say, don't even say his name with Sports Thunder, because that is his thing. And he's going to come to me. He's going to say, well, I mean, you know, Howard mentioned Sports Thunder. I mean, it's only four more
just
hours.
Click on send. Topic line, Sports Thunder.
He did that.
Hey, Alan.
He did that to me during the Andy Dalton game, you know. That when they made the playoffs, man. It was New Year's Eve, and he's like,
okay, but well, honestly,
I mean,
come on. I mean, we all had such a natural high going. I could have done 72 hours straight by myself.
And I would have welcomed
game.
You.
That was so much fun.
That was fun.
Quick note, and then we're going to get to our, anyway, it's Football Friday. Nate's here, 803-0550, Bills, Niners, let's talk. Frank Saravelli, quick NHL update. Frank Saravelli from TSN tweeted out about a half hour ago, development. Sources say NHL shared draft schedules.
Woo.
That's schedule proposals, not necessarily like a schedule about when to draft. Draft schedules with the players on Thursday, one including a 56-game regular season for 2021. The draft schedules were based on a January 1st start date, but the sides discussed pushing that back January 15th or January 16th, told talks were unrelated to recent economic requests. So that is a little bit of an update on the NHL. It's been kind of quiet. There's some people suggesting maybe they're making progress.
Saravelli did add to that tweet. He said, difficult to say definitively that it is progress, given the outstanding economic issues and skyrocketing COVID-19 numbers, but this is one of the more positive signs yet that there will be a 2020-21 season.
Now, if I really wanted to depress you, although this is, I think, more due diligence that you would do than anything else, there was also a story from TSN that the NHLPA has been talking to lawyers investigating what are their possible actions if the NHL says we're canceling the entire season. Could they file a lawsuit? Could they file a grievance? But again, I think that's, you would be doing all of your due diligence in the event it actually got to that point. It doesn't mean they're thinking the NHL will scrap the season. All right. Let's get to our smoking story of the week, brought to you by Heron's Landing. Why would you want to pay more? So, Nate, for our smoking story of the week, I'm going to go with playoff races.
Okay.
Right? We're not going within the hunt, and I'm not even going to mention the NFC right now. We're going to stick to the AFC. So, Bills fans, here's what you got. Pittsburgh is the one seed. Kansas City's the two. Tennessee's the three. Buffalo's the four. Right now, your three wild cards are Cleveland, Miami, and Indianapolis. Just on the outside looking in, both at 6-5, Vegas and Baltimore. How do I want to phrase this? Pittsburgh's going to win the North. Kansas City's going to win the West.
Buffalo's going to win the East.
Sorry, I agree. No, I agree. We've been talking about Miami. I know they're in the rearview mirror. I think the Bills are going to win the East Division.
I'm ready to talk about it.
AFC South winner will be. I stumped him. I feel good. I made him think a little
Titans.
Bit. This one, Titans.
I almost said the Colts, but Titans.
We were discussing the wild card a little bit in the break. We were talking about the Raiders schedule, different schedules remaining. Your wild card teams will be who? You've got basically, I don't think New England's going to make a run here. They're 5-6. So you've got five teams going for three spots. Browns, Dolphins, Colts, Raiders, Ravens. And the Ravens, of course, are going backwards. They still don't know if they'll have Lamar Jackson for their next game. He's still in COVID protocols.
I would say Browns, Ravens, and
Colts or Dolphins or Raiders.
I'm going to say Dolphins.
Yeah, I think it's a good, well, it's funny. The thing about Miami is you look at their schedule after this game, and it's difficult. They should beat Cincinnati. That would make them 8-4. They're going to lose to the Chiefs, right? 8-5. Raiders, Patriots, Bills. Now, and who knows if the Bills game actually means something for the Bills. You know, they might wrap up the division before Week 17. That could be a Matt Barkley special against the Miami Dolphins. So I can get the Dolphins, I think, to 10 wins this season, which should be enough to get them into one of the wild card spots. I think the Browns are in. I think the Dolphins are in. And then if I had to hazard a guess, this is boring because there's no changes, I think I would pick the Colts. I think they're an overall better team. I don't think the Ravens are making the playoffs. I think the Colts are a better team overall than the Raiders. And I got to be honest with you. I've never really trusted the Raiders defense, and I'm pretty shook by the massive blowout they just laid in Atlanta.
That is an earth-shattering situation that happened there. Like that was a year-defining loss.
Yeah,
that for the Raiders.
You're going to have losses, yeah. Of course. But holy smokes, did they just get there? You know what?
Behinds kicked.
Yeah, in that game. And as I said, I think, you know, all season long, I think their defense is better than where it's been, but I think you'd have more faith in, believe it or not, Derek Carr and their offense than you would about the Raiders' defense stopping people. So I would, it's funny, if there are only two games you watched of the Raiders this season and you saw them play the Chiefs, you might think this discussion is crazy. Huh. But what?
The stat.
Oh, yeah, we'll get.
That's interesting.
You're getting ahead of the game.
I'm sorry,
here, dude.
I couldn't believe it.
That's 845.
It's an amazing stat.
Which one?
You see, that's a tease.
The Lions one? Or
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got a stat of the year nominee, which is why we're going to bring those up at 845.
Love it.
So that's the AFC race. Let's go quickly through the NFC race. New Orleans right now is the one seed. Then you've got Seattle, Green Bay, and the Giants, the division leaders.
Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Christ. That's just terrible.
Rams, Tampa Bay, and the Giants could win the division. Well, whatever. They'll get Daniel Jones back. Rams, Tampa, and Arizona are your wild cards. Minnesota and Chicago and San Francisco are all 5-6, one game out of the wild card race. So it's shaping up as a really intriguing race in the NFC. Who's the best team in the NFC? If you had to develop tiers, maybe, who would you put in tier one? I know you'd put Kansas City in tier one in the AFC. I think that's probably the only team you'd put in tier one in the AFC. What about the NFC?
Could I cop out and say that I don't think there's a tier one team in the NFC?
Okay. Well, then, well, there would still be a tier one team. It would just be a whole bunch of teams in tier one.
I think it would just be.
I mean, you can't skip tier one and go right to tier two.
I can't?
No. Whoa. You have to have a first tier. In this case, tier one would be made up of tier two teams, but they'd still be in tier one.
Tier one is the tiers of Jameis Winston, because the Saints could be a tier one team if they had Jameis Winston starting at quarterback. But they don't. They physically cannot pay him to play football. So, funny how that works. They can't even play the quarterback that would give them the best chance to win because he would cost them too much money.
Is that what it's come to? It's not a love affair with Taysom Hill? It's a contractual thing?
If he plays a certain amount, he gets a guarantee that kicks in.
Yeah.
And they are already $50 million over next year.
I didn't know that.
Yes. They're in a huge hole for next year. Wow. And if he plays a certain amount of snaps, he gets a performance.
He'll have some incentives will come in.
And a performance incentive. And they literally cannot afford it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, but I guess that's my team, the Saints.
Yeah.
Even though they are as flawed as a top team could be.
Even with Breeze. Yeah.
They are flawed at quarterback, and I think that they're probably the third best defense in the league. really good defensively. DeMario Davis, Marshawn Lattimore. Like they've got a good defense, but
because of the limited down, I was going to say limited lack of.
Their two most impressive wins came against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Every other win has been, and they started the year like not well either. Like they're a weird team to me. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender.
If the playoffs started today, you ready? This is the wild card round. So Pittsburgh gets the bye in the AFC, assuming they don't change the playoff format, of course. Here are your three matchups: Colts, Chiefs, Dolphins, Titans, Browns, Bills. What's the best game out of those three? What of those three games you go, wow, that is a hell of a game?
Colts, Titans,
Chiefs,
who?
Titans, Dolphins, Browns, Bills.
I would say Browns, Bills.
See, I would have gone with, believe it or not, I would go with Indianapolis and Kansas City.
I like it. I like Indianapolis' defense,
and that's why. But they can't outscore Kansas City.
No, they can't. But I'll tell you this: is their defense isn't as good against the run, which is why they were exposed against Tennessee last week.
Yeah,
but they can stop the pass.
That's why I wonder: could they somehow? I was thinking about Kansas City this morning, like the best way to approach Kansas City in the playoffs. Because
have them play all the games. Don't give them a bye. That's your best option. Well, is they have to play all the games.
At this point, they wouldn't. But what's the game? Like, how do you beat Kansas City? Maybe, I don't know, somebody was having this discussion. What's the best way to beat Kansas City?
A couple of turnovers.
Is it to have a great defense and try, like the Bills tried to basically keep the game in the 20s, which they did.
They did,
keep the game in the 20s, keep it close, be within striking distance in the fourth quarter. Don't let Mahomes beat you over the top and throw for, you know, six touchdowns and 42 points.
Right.
And the Bills did that, but they lost. We're going to let you run the ball, but they lost. Now, the Raiders said, hey, man, we're going toe-to-toe. One time it worked. You know, they beat him, what was it, 42-35, whatever it was. And the other game, they played him tough, too. So I was trying to think, like, what's the best idea against Kansas City in the playoffs? And I think you can't outscore them. So as much as it would be entertaining to go toe-to-toe and go, okay, the heavyweight champ's in the middle of the ring, I'm going in, and we're just going to exchange punches. I think you do have to have a defense that can somehow keep Kansas City under 30, and you hope your offense beats them 28-27, 27-24, whatever, where they really strong
you beat
defensive performance.
You would the kind of game you beat Kansas City is you're trailing all game and you keep it close, you keep it with the possession the whole game, and then you have the ball last and you kick a game-winning field goal and walk off the field and know that you walked away with one.
Yeah. Maybe the Colts can do that.
Yeah.
First off, I think Kansas City more than any other team is just, you throw them on TV, I'm in. They're just, Mahomes is such an entertaining watch.
Here's the thing with them too, that and I mentioned this in my column, and I think it's, I don't want it to come off as a hot take because I don't really think it's a hot take at all. What I said in my piece was the only real difference between the Bills and the Chargers right now is that the Chargers play more consistently at their ceiling than the Bills do. The Bills fluctuate a lot between how well they play in a game, who they're playing matters, where they're playing matters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to Kansas City where they're playing, what time they're playing, who they're playing. They can get in and out of their ceiling, and when they're not playing at their ceiling, they're playing really close to it. So that's the main difference between a team like Kansas City and Buffalo or Kansas City and Pittsburgh. It's that it's not about the rosters. It's not even about Patrick Mahomes. It's about their ability to play at a certain level of play and not letting those outside factors determine whether or not they're going to be playing that type of football. For the Bills, when the Bills play at their ceiling, the Bills are a Super Bowl contender. It's just how often do they play there? It's not as often as I would like. And I'm sure it's not as often that Sean McDermott would like either.
Right. But it's funny. Like, if you think about Kansas City, the, quote, bad day for them, the 27 points the Bills yielded to Kansas City is tied for the second lowest point total for them all season. Now, they scored 27 in a win over Tampa. But, I mean, like, they were moving the ball against Tampa, right? Mahomes threw for over 400 yards. But they just bogged down in the red zone. But they still, 23 is their lowest point total of the season. It came against the Chargers, a game they actually came from behind in the fourth quarter, went into overtime. You'll be surprised to hear the Chargers made some questionable coaching decisions in that game. And Kansas City pulls it out in overtime. I mean, they wake up on game day, and there's 31 on the board when you play Kansas City, pretty much. So that's why I thought I better have a good enough defense to try and keep Mahomes under 30.
You beat the Kansas City Chiefs with coaching and with you really do have to play a perfect game offensively against right. them.
See, Phillip Rivers can't have turnovers.
You can't go three and out. You know, your punter can't be on the field. You know, you need special teams plays. You need a couple of turnovers. You need everything to go right. But mostly, it's the ceiling point to me that makes it makes the most sense when you're talking about the AFC, because the Kansas City Chiefs sometimes it looks like they're bored within the middle of the game. Like, and then they're like, all right, well, if we go up by three scores, this isn't going to be fun.
Yeah.
And so, like, we had people on Twitter telling me this week, well, Nate, the Chiefs, they don't close the door. They don't keep their foot on the gas. They let the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in that football game. And I looked at that game and I said to people, you think the Bucs are in this game? I'm like, yeah, it's a 3-point game. But you think the Bucs are in this game? They're not in this game. The Chiefs can. You know that if the game was tied.
Yeah.
And there was 30 seconds left on the clock, Chiefs are winning.
That's why I think, I remember watching their loss, the first game against the Raiders, and they lose. And I'm watching that game going, it's just a matter of time.
I mean,
the Chiefs, we've seen some really good offenses over the years. And I will tell you that the Chiefs with Mahomes, it's the only time I felt
like
an offense can basically score at will.
I've never seen
like
anything like
if they really
it.
Want, like you just said, it's almost like they're on the sideline going, Mahomes turns to his teammates, hey, the game's close.
Yeah.
Let's go out and get a touchdown,
fellas. What are we doing here?
And they go out and have three plays, 75 yards, touchdown. Like, they do feel like when they're, like, they have to be pushed, and they realize, oh, we're going to have to put, all right, we got to put another
we
seven
gotta,
up on
right.
the board.
Well, shoot, I guess we do have to hit 40 today.
All right, Travis, here you go. Yeah. Tyreek, here you go.
Right. And that's
their game the other day against Tampa, like the last possession to basically run the clock out. They didn't run the clock out. They're still throwing the ball to put the game away, you know, because they're the Chiefs. So I do. I think they are clearly the best. I think they're the best team in the conference. I think they're the best team in the league. You can put them in their own tier and then throw everybody else in the tier after that. Quickly, Nate, the NFC. New Orleans right now is the one, so they would have the bye. Your three matchups in the first round would be Arizona-Seattle, which I think would be an extremely entertaining game. Their two regular season games have been boffo. Tampa Bay-Green Bay, and the Buccaneers just destroyed Green Bay in their regular season meeting. Rams-Giants. I'm not sure if anybody's watching Rams-Giants. I don't even know if Giants fans are watching
Rams-Giants. No, they're not.
Yeah, so let's just pretend that doesn't happen. So Arizona-Seattle, Tampa Bay-Green Bay. Arizona-Seattle, I think, is a fabulous matchup.
Arizona-Seattle is a good I'd watch that again.
I would think it would be a lot of points. You got some really good star power, quarterback, wide receiver.
People aren't going to like my answer, and I know what happened in the regular season. I think Green Bay is the best team in the NFC.
Really?
I think they play.
That was a bad
they're
game
a lot
they
like the Bills.
Tampa.
They're a lot like the Bills in that when they get to that ceiling, like they did last week against the Bears, and they show up every other week, they play their best football.
Yeah.
And when they do, good luck stopping that offense. And their defense, I get it. They've got their defense is built for January, not for the regular season. Their defense, when it comes down to it, they've got two stud pass rushers. Rashawn Gary's really coming around. I like what they've got at corner. Mm-hmm. I like LaFleur a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think Aaron Rodgers is the MVP this year. I know a lot of people haven't been talking about him, and they've been talking about Wilson and then Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I think right now, based on the conference, who they're playing, like, give me Green Bay. And I know that game against Tampa earlier in the season.
It's a bad night.
It's a bad night
it
altogether.
It went down fast for
but
them.
It and to a certain extent, that Green Bay has that like thing about them where they play port. Like last year, their bugaboo were the Niners. They lost to them in the regular season badly, and then they lost to them in the playoffs badly.
Uh-huh.
Is Tampa Bay their bugaboo? I don't think so. I don't think it's that same level. So, but good defenses, good defensive lines can give them fits. But I like Green Bay out of the NFC.
Our smoking story of the week, brought to you by Heron's Landing. Why would you want to pay more? Football Friday, WGR, M&T Bills fan. Football Friday, Murph will join us. We'll break down the Bills-Niners matchup with him when we continue. You want to give us your thoughts on the game? You have anything you want to talk about with the Bills that's not related to the game? That's fine, too. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 to join us here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Part of our offense, so kind of adjusting on the fly. And, you know, we got a bunch of young guys that can play, young guys that we want, like Gabe Davis. We asked a young guy to grow up fast, you know, come out here, play fast, do your job. And he's been doing a great job all year. He's made some plays. We're going to look for him to make a lot more of them because I can see a lot of potential in him. That's just what the job calls for. You know, you don't want to get comfortable without a guy, but we can't stop. The offense can't stop. We got to keep rolling, find ways to win, putting running backs out there and stuff like that, make them run some routes as well. But anything we got to do to win, of course, we're not going to get comfortable without John Brown. Hope he has a speedy recovery so he can come back soon, but just, you know, next man up, Marston.
That is Stephon Diggs, who is leading AFC wide receivers in Pro Bowl voting. Jordan Poyer and Andre Roberts also leading in AFC Pro Bowl voting at their respective positions. Josh Allen is second. The Bills injury report, not too bad. Knock on wood. Fewest names on the list in a while. Now, it doesn't include guys that are on injured reserve, as Sal pointed out earlier. Josh Allen is on the list, knee, ankle, but he was a full participant yesterday. Debo Samuel did not practice yesterday for the Niners. However, the word from Kyle Shanahan at this point, it is more precautionary. Samuel came back off a hamstring injury, did play last week, was very good. So maybe they're just, you know, resting him, don't want to take any chances. The Seahawks wide receiver, Josh Gordon, has been conditionally reinstated by the NFL for the final 2 weeks of the season. Steelers outside linebacker Bud Dupree is indeed out for the rest of the season. The injury has been confirmed as a torn ACL that he suffered the other night in the win over Baltimore. By the way, the Steelers, Kansas City, and New Orleans can all clinch playoff spots in Week 13. Niagara basketball opened up the season, lost to Syracuse, and news from the NHL, several teams are investigating the possibility of some outdoor home games if they can have fans in the stadiums. Also, there was a report this morning from TSN and Frank Saravelli that the league and the Players Association exchanged some draft schedules yesterday. One of the proposals was a 56-game season starting mid-January. Those are your headlines. We are talking Bills Niners on Football Friday with John Murphy. Of course, you'll have the call Monday night here on WGR with Steve Tasker and our very own Sal Capaccio. And Murph's segment is brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of Bills fans, by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills, and by Sullivan's Brewing Company. From Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. Happy Football Friday, Mr. Murphy. How are you today?
I'm well, Howard. How are you?
It depends on your answer to my first question. I'm nervous about this game. Nate Geary feels a little more confident than I do. Let's start with just your overall feelings about this matchup. We'll get into specifics, but overall, how are you feeling about the Bills' chances going into this game?
That's a really good question. You know, it's funny.
getting ready for games each week. You know, beginning of the week, the day after a Bills game, I have, unless it's an AFC East opponent, I really don't have a real good working familiarity with the Bills opponents. And as I go through the week and do some work and make up my spotting board and watch video, I have a better appreciation for that team. And as this week goes along, I have a new appreciation of the 49ers. They're not bad, especially defensively. You know, they've been ravaged by injuries. I think they've lost more man games to injury than any other team in the NFL this year. And they're starting to get a little bit healthier, the last week especially. And I just think they have the potential. I've watched the Rams game. I've watched three of their games so far. They have the potential to really slow down. I'm not going to say shut down, but slow down Buffalo's offense. And that scares me a little bit. You know, they're a very physical team, I think. Good players on defense. Their middle linebacker, Fred Warner, I think is one of the great players in the NFL, and he really goes unnoticed. They got Richard Sherman back last week. They got Jason Barrett, former first-round pick, at another corner. The other linebacker, the weak side guy, Greenlaw, is pretty good. Up front, they have about six guys who can play, and they rotate them all through. I just think defensively, they really are impressive. Now, you look at the Niners, and you think, of course, they don't have their starting quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, right? And he won't play this week, but they have talent. They have some playmakers, but they really don't have the trigger man to pull it off. So that would be a major setback for them. But I just think the Niners are better than – well, they're better than I thought they were about 3 days ago, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because I've been saying this game makes me a little bit nervous because, quite honestly, Murph, you go back a few weeks when, you know, I watched them play New England. I mean, they destroyed New England in that game. Not that the Patriots are great shakes. We know that. But – you know, Garoppolo gets hurt, and then Kittle goes down. And you look at, you know, and you knew they, you know, Bosa and Thomas and all the and opt-outs and reserve, and I thought, okay, these guys are dead in the water. By the time the Bills play, and their schedule, before this game, they were playing Green Bay and New Orleans and maybe Tampa, I forget. I thought they would, oh, Seattle. I figured they're dead in the water. By the time the Bills show up in San Francisco, this one's going to be a cakewalk. And somehow they're playing teams tough in losses. They beat the Rams. Maybe they just have the Rams number. I don't know. It's just so hard to look at this game, Murph, to me and go, don't worry about it, fellas. They're playing their backup quarterback. They don't have their tight end. They've got all these injuries. Don't sweat it. Let's worry about Pittsburgh. It's just there's something about this game that just is in my head giving me a really weird feeling. Having said that, and you break down San Francisco, where do you think would be the Bills' biggest edge, or where are the biggest edges in this matchup for Buffalo?
Well, I think the Bills have offensive playmakers, you know. They have a much better quarterback and much, well, not much, but better wide receivers and a better passing attack than the Niners have. I don't think the Niners are interested in throwing it, really, with Nick Mullins at quarterback. They want to run it, and they should be able to with Mostert and a little bit of Jerick McKinnon, maybe. But I think the biggest edge for the Bills would be in the passing game. They look, I still think, and they've demonstrated it, too, I still think the Bills are a very good offense that is able to turn up the heat on teams, and they found a way to run the ball effectively last week against the Chargers, so they can continue to do that. But in the passing game, with Josh Allen pulling the trigger and Stephon Diggs, I know John Brown is out, but Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, and maybe even Dawson Knox contributing, I think the Bills are a much better passing team than the 49ers and should be able to do that against them. But I'm not going to tell you it'll be easy, because I really respect San Francisco's defense.
Murph, this 49ers team, this is the team that went to the Super Bowl last year. So knowing that, would you maybe argue that this is Shanahan's maybe most impressive work, considering all the injuries and knowing that they had a Super Bowl appearance last year? Like, he just kind of continues to do what he does regardless of the personnel that they put on the week each week.
Yeah, I gotta confess, I'm not a huge Shanahan fan, and I know he's a good coach. He's obviously in the top echelon, you know, one of the top 10 coaches in the league. But I do think he's focused on his offense. He lets Robert Saleh run the defense.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like those guys who bury their head in the play sheet and the play call sheet and doesn't pay too much attention to the defense. So with that in mind, I'm reluctant to give him too much credit. But, yes, you're right. They've managed to persevere. I mean, they're 5-6. They haven't really had a successful season so far. But they managed to hang in there. And now, you know, and to be honest, the report card isn't done yet. They're going to be tested these final 5 weeks of the season. Yeah, they have a shot at the playoffs. They're in the toughest division in the NFL. They got to play, you know, they got to play four of their next five away from home. They're supposed to be home games, or at least three of the next five, you know, and another one in Arizona. They're going to basically take up residence at State Farm Stadium instead of Levi's Stadium. So, and it's not just playing the games there, it's practicing. They're headquartered in the hotel right across the street, essentially, from State Farm Stadium, and they have a practice field there. I mean, they're a complete remote operation now, at least for the next 5 weeks, maybe to the end of the season. That'll be a challenge for Kyle Shanahan. So I'm not burying him, but I'm not throwing him a ton of credit either. But by the end of the year, if they make the playoffs with this group and under these circumstances, yeah, I'll give him a lot of credit. Absolutely.
Hey, Murph, the Bills' defense is playing much better. Why?
Yep. Pass rush. They've adjusted. I think they've tweaked their – look, they're not a heavy blitzing team, but they are not afraid to blitz, and maybe not afraid, but before they were reluctant to blitz as much as they have send extra pass rushers than they have maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks. That's number one. Getting great play from Jerry Hughes. I think Mario Addison quietly has had a very strong year on the other side. I think their pass rush has really kind of keyed their defense to be a very tough defense to play again. Tre'Davious White having another Pro Bowl year, made some big plays in the last few weeks, obviously. And the other, and you mentioned him just before he came on, Jordan Poyer. I think I'm glad that he's leading. Right, he's leading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's first. Yep.
Yeah, it's good to know that people around the league are recognizing what a great, great player Jordan Poyer is. And not to take anything away from Micah Hyde, but he's sort of been a little bit in the shadow of Micah Hyde for a couple of years. And I think Jordan Poyer is a sensational player on the Buffalo defense. But I think the change that we're seeing in the Buffalo defense is a result of an emphasis more on rushing the passer and guys who are able to do it.
Yeah. All right, Murph. You know, get a nap in on Monday.
Yeah, that'll be a long one, but yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but again,
right? The games are all over the place.
Yeah, right. We're getting into some serious night football here. So yeah. Again, at least you know, you get out of the stadium Monday night at midnight, you know, or Tuesday morning, and you know, it's you don't have traffic, so you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Something to be said for that. You know, unless you and Tasker still get the police escort home.
I'll ask for it. There's no police to ask for it.
Sal will lead the way. He'll give you his own escort. Yeah. All right, Murph, enjoy your weekend.
Okay, you too.
All right, that is John Murphy joining us here for his Football Friday segment. We are talking about the Bills Niners with you. 803-0550. Okay, when we get back, now we got Scaff coming up top of the hour. We have Sean McDermott going to join us around 9:30. I saw a stat. Going to go out on a limb. I think it's a stat of the year nominee, not just a stat of the day.
Stat of the century.
There's something potentially historical going on in the NFL. So I'm going to put it up for a stat of the year discussion when we get back on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, you ready? So I'm going to get you up to speed. We do, you know, we do stat of the day here on WGR. We come up with stat of the day quite often on the show, which, by the way, is brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. So this is a stat of the day I'm going to get to in a moment, but I want to nominate it as a stat of the year. Now, do you want me to recap the current ones we have in consideration stat of the year and then do my stat
of
the
day? Sure, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
All right. I'll give you the what have been the ones we've had, and I'll get you the most recent one. Stat of the Year nominees started on January 3rd. Larry Fitzgerald has played 16 years in the NFL at that time. We have not updated the stat. He has more tackles than drops. 32-30.
Yeah, that's
that was
remarkable.
In January. Okay, that was as of going into the season. July 2nd, we came up with this one. There have been more men to walk on the moon, 12, than runs given up by Mario Rivera in the postseason, 11.
And like 8 of them came in his last 2 seasons, by the way.
Yeah, and I think some of them came against Arizona. August, we came up with this one. Miroslav Shetan is the only player in NHL history to score multiple overtime game-winning goals for and against the same franchise, the Buffalo Sabres. In September...
By the way, that's multiple overtime, like double overtime, triple overtime.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just more than... Okay. Let's see. Of Aaron Rodgers' 368 career touchdown passes, only one touchdown pass had been thrown to a first-round draft pick.
And I think that has to be updated because I think he's thrown Mercedes Lewis at least once or twice
still
this season
for a
touchdown.
Still the same guy, though. But it's still the same. Still the same only guy. One first-round draft pick has caught a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. And then we had this one.
That's insane.
That's why we call these Stat of the Year nominees. So there have been 40 straight Stanley Cup finals with at least one player who has played with Jaromir Jagr during his career. The last year it didn't happen was 1979. And the most recent one we unearthed just the other day. Since 1964, no Detroit Lions head coach has gone on to ever be a head coach with another NFL team.
That's insane.
And that's excluding interim
excluding
coaches.
Interim head coach. And I think it's a fairly safe bet to add Matt Patricia to that list.
Oh, he will
probably
never
not
see
a head coaching job
he
again.
He ain't getting the keys of a franchise again.
So those are your Stat of the Year nominees. Saw this one this morning. Pittsburgh's defense. You were talking about it earlier. It's really good, right?
Yep.
Heading into Week 13, the Steelers' defense leads the NFL in 3 key categories. They have the most sacks, the most takeaways, and they've given up the fewest points. Why is this notable? Since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970, no defense has ever finished the season leading in all 3 of those categories. Not only that, it's basically the triple crown of the NFL they point out. Not only that, only 3 teams in 50 years have made it this far, as the Steelers have, into December, leading in all 3 of those categories. So this is only the 4th time a team's even gotten to December.
I'm surprised to hear the 2000 Ravens aren't part of that, because I know they were the lowest scoring defense of all time.
Wait a minute, good sir. 3 teams previously made it to December. 2000 Ravens, the 2017 Jaguars.
Yep.
And one of the greatest single-season defenses ever put together.
The 85 Bears.
The 85 Bears.
Wow.
So 2 of those 3 teams did win the Super Bowl. The other one made it to the AFC title game and blew a lead in New England. So I'm just saying, if this if they
get Bortles.
If they get through the season, it would be the first time. I'm throwing this out there as a preemptive Stat of the Year nominee. It's rare to get to December leading all 3. If they do it, it's the first time since the merger that a team pulled this
off. How
far
are they ahead? Are they comfortably ahead in those categories?
Yeah, I don't know. I got to look that up. I don't have that stat for you.
So here's what I'll say
about
that.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. It's impressive. I don't think it's worthy of being on the sheet for Stat of the Year, but...
they never get a stat, Howard.
But if they do finish the season as the number one team in all 3 of those stats and be the
first
team
ever, right?
That'll actually count for 2021 Stat of the Year because the season won't end until 2021.
Right.
So
he's just poking holes in all your theories.
Save it.
It's a 2020 stat, though.
It is a 2020 season.
All but one regular season game will have occurred in 2020.
When they finish,
that is true.
The season, though, it'll be 2021.
But it's the 2020 season.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care. I want a Stat of the Year nominee. I'm just saying. I'm calling dibs on that stat now.
It's a good one.
Save it.
Because I don't think it goes Stat of the Year now, even though they're only the 4th team ever to get into December leading all 3.
They got to be. It's got to be the Stat of the Year candidate has to be the first time someone's done something. At least I think that's one requirement.
Last year, I think our Stat of the Year ended up being the Washington Nationals winning the World Series with 4 road wins, and then they lost 4. So it was the first World Series ever, or first ever championship series.
It wasn't the Joey Votto pop up thing.
I mean, that was a very impressive stat in itself, but I think we finished on the fact that it was the first ever championship series or any series
to have no home wins.
To have no home wins, I think.
Huh. And then there was the, what was the...
we'll have to double check with
when
Jeremy
baseball was
that,
fun.
Wasn't there a shots on goal? Who was it? Was it a defenseman?
Oh,
was
yes.
Some kind of
it was Dougie
stat?
Hamilton.
Yeah, I don't
Dougie
remember
Dougie Hamilton
it was.
Had a at least one shot on goal in like 200 some odd straight games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Stat of the year nominee. How many national titles has Notre Dame football won in the last, what, 20, 30?
Okay, Mets guy. Okay, Mets guy.
I hate you. Don't bring up 2015. I always make the same mistake
you
when he's
walk,
in.
You walk
I
into
do
it.
That.
You literally, I don't even bring it up ever. The only time I ever bring 2015 up is when Howard just
makes fun of Notre
opens
Dame.
Up a big giant
wait,
can
big
of whoop
can
ass.
Of Notre
wait,
Dame
who won that World Series? Too?
Nobody.
I have
there
no
was
idea.
No World Series played. They had a strike. It canceled the postseason.
Best starting right, pitching right. staff right, maybe right. to ever hit the World Series and
I don't believe
couldn't
they played. Done. They didn't play the World Series. Hmm. Hey, man, we got a new owner, so get on board now for all the
hey,
Mets
so,
World Series
so
titles
the Royals.
That are coming.
So do the Royals.
Yeah, but
Patrick Mahomes.
He's not the richest guy in all of
he's
Major League Baseball.
Owner,
Patrick Mahomes
yeah.
is a minority owner of the Royals now. So.
Well, yeah, I don't care. So there.
Okay, do you want to hear something funny, though?
Good.
So they started selling number 15 Mahomes Royals jerseys in the Royals store.
And you yeah. bought one.
And it's Whit Merrifield's number, their best player. And Whit Merrifield went to the store.
That's funny.
Took a picture. He's like, what's going on here?
It says Mahomes 15.
It says 15 Mahomes.
On a Royals
what's
jersey?
Going on here? This not, is my number.
You should have bought the Mahomes jersey.
I should. I
so
might.
They basically go to this guy and say, listen, you're going to have to give up the number.
He's your best player.
Doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, you're giving up 15. It's going to the
as
other,
it is.
And he's not even playing in our sport.
As it is, we're going to have to do some work to keep him around. So, like, maybe don't give away his jersey number to the minority owner. I don't know.
Hey, does Mahomes have to pay him for that jersey? You know, like a guy comes to a team and he buys the jersey number from somebody else who already has that jersey? I wonder if Mahomes has to pay him. When we get back, SCAF. Some interesting games going on this weekend. And look, don't... I was going to say, don't forget, like you don't, like you might have actually forgotten the Bills aren't playing Sunday. So if you got the ticket or a Red Zone channel, or if not, we'll get you the 506 map and which games we're getting here in the Buffalo market. You can, again, as you will be able to do two more times, three more times this season, have a Sunday afternoon where you can just chill out and watch everybody else play and not have to stress out over a Bills game. 803-0550 to join us. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!